Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Also, very non-good question. Why do you want to work with this?
Ashwini, start it again, okay? Your little...
Answer this very non-Zen question. Why do you want to work with this particular issue? Record and listen. Note, the obvious answer is I don't want to suffer, so we encourage you to go beyond the obvious answer.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Let's hear from our callers about why they want to work on the issue of relationships. Here we go, our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Julian calling from Portland.
Well, hello, Julian. What are you seeing?
Hello. Oh, I'm so happy to be on the call. you know, it's interesting because I've been wanting to look at sort of how conflict feels for me in various relationships for a while. And I noticed that with people that ego deems people I don't love, there's a lot of with conflict sort of I need to show you that this is wrong, or I have something to prove. And with people that I do love, it's if there's conflict, it's like, oh, I've got to fix this. This is dangerous. This is bad. And either way, accepting the conflict is not happening.
Well, yes. Those are your only two options in life.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And even framing it as conflict supports those that dualistic ego perspective, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, I hadn't even gotten there. Yeah.
Because it could just be relating.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think that something goes sort of red in my brain as soon as the word or whatever is being projected as conflict even, I guess, even appears on the horizon. And the idea that I could stay with presence in those moments is pretty unfathomable at this point. So.
Well, it has been.
Yeah.
And, right? So this is where you're working. So conditioning would really like you to believe that, whoa, this is way off and that's going to be a big slog to get there. And it is the thing that you're looking at right now, so it's not exactly far away. So the thing that was so interesting to me about that image of there it is on the horizon, and that what we do is then leave relating to the person on the horizon and begin relating with the very conditioning that presents that person as a conflict.
You know, it's interesting when you frame it like that because it does feel in those moments like I'm dropping into a very conditioned response. It's like there is no room for possibility or just experience. It's like, uh-oh, this thing is happening. Okay, jump to what are these like coping mechanisms? What am I supposed to do? How do I deal with this? And there's no, you know, there's no noticing the details of the environment that I'm in or, you know, any bits of things that help me drop into being present.
There's no, oh, is that so? Oh, interesting. Huh.
Right.
None of that. It's just,
no.
It doesn't
there's none of that.
Scream no, but it is screaming no, right? Ego is just no. You know, this is the defensive posture you must assume.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I think, you know, just I was thinking about this new topic, and for me to walk around, say, in nature and look at a tree and just and think of non-separateness and feel that connection, it's just, it's delightful. And and the idea that I could do that with another person, it's like
really
mind-boggling. it seems And of course there are people in my life that I love and I have that experience with, but like, what about the person who just cut me off in traffic, you know, or,
Right. Well, or even the person that you love and you know loves you, but just said or did something that is that red flag for ego.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Something wrong. Yeah. Okay. Now this is the posture you've got to jump into because you have to fix this. This is dangerous.
Right.
This is threatening.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and I would so love to get to that point, have that moment with a person I love, and instead of just, boom, going into that conditioned response right away, just having a second to breathe and and just be curious, like, okay, what if I didn't go there? What would be possible,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if there isn't anything wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I pictured you, I wish I could remember what the name of it, the suit that people wear in martial arts, is it called a gi or something like that? You know, the it's looks like kind of like a kimono with a belt tied around it. Anyway, all the martial arts people are going, hey, somebody will text me and tell me. But I pictured you in one. So that wherever you're going, you're aware that this is your orientation. Your orientation is to being present enough to be there when whatever arises with anybody. So that you are ready to flow in whatever direction, right? Just kind of that dance of movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that sounds like freedom to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it might be fun to get a picture of that little outfit and then imagine that when you, wherever you are, you have it on. And that's your reminder to be here in that presence that has you available to the moment instead of the ego.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what we're doing the work for. Yeah.
That's it. That's the one. Thank you, Julian.
Thank you. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thanks, Julian. You know, Sherry, when we were looking at relationships, one of the words that I've been fascinated by forever, and it sort of reveals my computer background, is interfaces. And an interface is when two things come together, right? There's the coming together of two things. And usually it's two things that are different, like an edge, for example. And what I was looking at around relating, especially what Julian was talking about, when I encounter a tree, there isn't the interface is smooth. There's a continuity of flow because there is no interruption. But those interfaces that get projected as conflict tend to be those that are different. And looking at that a little bit more, right, that what intelligence is registering is difference, and what conditioning does is to exploit difference into threat or something wrong or, you know, as a node to separate rather than
to turn. To turn discrimination into judgment.
That's exactly right. And that's just so it. And that to spend some time to look at what in us that is conditioned to believe that difference is a threat, mostly a threat to ego, but, you know, that might be a very good way of exploring relationships. Why do we feel like that? When someone disagrees or when someone is different from me, that what is it that's going on for the person in that situation?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I really appreciate the way you inserted the word exploit, because that's it, right? We register the difference, and then ego exploits that split second of registering to take it in a direction of reacting to something wrong,
mm-hmm.
rather
yeah.
than something new to embrace, to explore.
Right. Yes, because, you know, I think it's one of our favorite writers, Marion Milner, who talks about it in this way, that a difference is registered almost as an annihilation of me. My thought can't exist if a different thought exists. And so mm-hmm. to make that movement into, there's a place of inclusion where both thoughts can exist. Just because mm-hmm. difference is registered doesn't mean that it means the extinction of one in order for the other to exist. It's so fundamental.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. Because in fact, if I don't see it in that this is going to threaten, possibly annihilate or extinguish me, then this is something that in me that I get to explore.
Yes. Right?
Because I've just registered this in you, ostensibly.
Yeah.
Of course, I didn't. I registered it in me. and now I get to have that because it's been introduced to me. It's been brought to my attention.
A both and an and rather than an or.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Christine in Oregon.
Hello, Christine.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
And so from that last conversation, I was following along, I think, and what do you want to work on with this issue? And I think it would be, for me, communication. And I think this goes along with what you were just talking with Ashwini about and what the last caller was talking about. And the example would be I was talking with a friend. I was talking with a friend, and I noticed a lot lately this thing that I do. It seems like I have like a drawing out thing that I like to do with people because I'm picturing what they're saying in my mind, and I like to get the whole picture. So I ask a lot of questions. You know, did you mean blah blah? You know, because I'm forming it all in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was doing that with a friend, you know, because he said, you know, he was telling me something about something that happened with him and then this, that. And I said, well, you know, I was asking questions about it. And then I noticed he was a little bit irritated. I thought he was irritated. And then I got to watch what happens when what conditioned mind does to me when that happens, when someone doesn't really want, maybe someone doesn't really want to talk about all the details. Maybe, you know, I don't know.
Right. Right.
I don't know.
Maybe you're putting me in touch with a discomfort because I haven't looked at that or I haven't thought about that. Or I just wanted to tell you about the restaurant, Christine. Okay. I don't care about the furniture or even
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're making me look at places I haven't looked.
Well, I think
maybe not.
You know, yeah, and I realize also sometimes I might do that, and I sort of know I'm doing that. I'm going to make the person uncomfortable, but I don't know. This is probably just self-hate.
You do it anyway.
It's almost like, yeah, I kind of want to in a way because, well, I don't know. I'm not sure about that because, what I do know is I do have a tendency to ask questions and just get this picture in my mind. You know, what are you saying? What's going on? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to see, you know, when somebody else reacts, for whatever reason that I don't really know about or I don't understand with them, what happens with me? And then, oh, no, you know, I need to back off. I better be quiet. I'm asking too many questions. Or, you know, he doesn't want to talk about that, and I need to be more accommodating, or just all the stuff that happens to me.
And mm-hmm. and so, Christine, can you, the way you're describing it, it sounds like you're getting a sense of the karma that's being held in place with this process, right? That mm-hmm. what it's meant to get you to is you need to be quiet. You need to get small. You need to accommodate. You need to, you're mm-hmm. too big. You're too intrusive. You're taking up too much space here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because and it's true, because I do. And then in a different friendship relationships, I do see myself shrinking back a little bit. Okay, you know, the other person. And over the years, the other person's important, you know. And over the years, I have definitely kind of dialed that way that I can communicate, kind of dialed it in a way that was more, just more easy, you know, for people. Mm-hmm. And for me, you know, don't be too wild and too, you know, communicative or something.
So
yeah.
Here's my curiosity, like with the first uh-huh. friend that you were describing. Would one of the questions ever be, am I asking too many questions?
It seems maybe I've tried that, but I...
It might be
no.
It,
yes.
Just,
yes.
Just in the, you know, sometimes just getting it outside our head, including somebody else, but actually including them, not just including them inside our head, can that kind
yeah.
of shake things up, open things up a little bit. Because often
yeah,
we're projecting
definitely.
Things onto people that are not going on with them at all. But
mm-hmm.
we take their behaviors through our conditioning, come up with a conclusion about it, believe the story, and never we're never allowed to actually attempt to find out from somebody what's going on with them. Not even what's going on with you in relation to me, which is a big step right there, right? But just what's going on with you so that I can maybe have a different understanding of you, or a different, I don't need to let ego react that way to you, because I now know that what you're telling me is you're not experiencing what my conditioning is projecting onto you.
Yes. Yes, that would be awesome. I can do that. And I can see also the reason that I don't, and I can see where it comes from, from family, and I have too much energy, and my sister doesn't like that, or my brother doesn't like that, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so just, you know, get smaller or something. So,
mm-hmm.
yes, I can see where mm-hmm. that comes from, that I wouldn't, that there's a point where I'm over identified, or I'm feeling identified, I guess, and then, yeah, that kind of throws me off, and then I, anyway.
Grab ego's hand and dance off down the primrose path, right?
Yeah, but I like that. I would like to just like I would like to do with myself, slow down,
mm-hmm.
check in, how, you know, mm-hmm. how, mm-hmm. how's it going? Is this conversation, you know, did I project irritation, or is that just me? You know, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Did you?
Or
yeah.
Or the straightforward, because this is the issue, am I asking too many questions?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Rather than, are you irritated, or is that, because that's really not what you want to know. You actually want to know, are you asking too many questions? What's happening when I ask so many questions?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Let us know.
Okay, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Christine.
Thank you. Okay, go happy.
Go happy.
And actually what I saw in that is relating is so interesting, because in relationship, it seems like, continuing the thought that we were having in the first caller, it's either you or me. So yeah. If I notice irritation in you, somehow I have to accommodate or I have to assert. It's not that it's a way of coming to a state of equilibrium in which both of us can be relating to each other, right? It's mm-hmm. it's a negation of me or a negation of you, which is what ego relationships are about.
Yes.
And to get to communicating is how we negotiate and establish the space that can be inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder we're not allowed mm-hmm. to communicate.
Yes, yes. Yeah, are you feeling any pressure to get that book done?
So much, so much. Absolutely. All right.
Okay, here we go.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Catherine from Hayes.
Oh, Catherine.
Hi. Well, I do want to tell you something I'm seeing. I've been recording and listening about relationships and the stories about them. And the first thing to say is I'm totally wrong about everything I'm about to tell you. That's what conditioning is telling me. I'm the wrong person here for feeling the way I feel. And that really is the message of all of the relationship stories. I'm the wrong person. So, yeah.
And Catherine, I'm hopeful here that you have stepped back enough to realize how completely ludicrous that is.
Oh, yeah, I know. I can get identified with it, but I, you know, at times I can. But, yes.
Yeah. But
I know it's for I'm the person I am. There's no wrong person.
You're the only person you are. And you're the only person you can be. It's just
exactly.
That premise is so absurd as soon as we see it. That's ridiculous. It's not like you have a choice to be another person. You are you.
Exactly. And, you know, we talk about the alternative universe. Well, I'm supposed to be the alternative person. You know, that's crazy. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. And so far I've seen two, the lose-lose propositions, either choice is wrong. One is, well, there's something wrong with people, so I'd rather be here alone with my cat and my books and, you know, conditioning.
The voice in my head.
The voice in my head. Which unfortunately is my most intimate relationship. I would rather do that. It's just safer for ego. But it's, you know, the story isn't safer for me. Or, and the other one is there's really, so that feels, yeah, I'm just going to, I read the news. You know, I read the news in the morning and I think, okay, I'm hiding here in my apartment all day. The world is crazy. I'm not going out there. And then I get beaten up for being somebody who isn't friendly enough, who's not the right person, nobody likes me. You know, it's like they're unlikable, I'm unlikable.
Yeah.
They're wrong, I'm wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what's so interesting about that? So you read the news in the morning and determine, and what you're told, that the world is crazy. But the only craziness you experienced happened right there in your own home.
Yes. It's happening in my head. Yeah.
That's right. Because those people didn't come into your apartment and say and do those things, right? It was just you and the voice in the head. And the voice in the head, it's so easy to see when you lay it out like that. It is crazy. It is unsafe. It is a completely dangerous force, and it comes into your apartment. It lives there with you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which is, of course, why it doesn't want you to go out, because if you went out, you would run into some friendly people, some open, kind people, and then how's that going to support the story?
Exactly. And I'd even meet some people who like me.
Oh, my God. Talk about a monkey wrench in the works.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. It's going to be an interesting month. What was the caller yesterday saying, you know, money and sexuality were biggies, and now we're in a relationship. So it's getting bigger.
Getting bigger all the time.
It is.
Yeah. And clearer, isn't it, Catherine? It's getting clearer all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can see it. It's just such a tedious story that it's running. And that's good. That's that wearing it out instead, you know, letting it go is hard. Wearing it out seems to be our chosen approach. And so we just do it and hear it until, oh my God, even I can't do or hear this one more time.
And participation so much helps with that, like calling right now. That's really helped. It's like, we talk about we go on a retreat and we just feel like our practice has, you know, widened to the end of eternity. I mean, it's so much bigger after that. And that's the way I feel when I participate. It's so everything gets more clear, and and I get more, feel more authentic, or, you know, more centered. Yeah. And anyway.
Yeah. And that's the relationship you want to be in.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a stark contrast between that dark, dangerous, threatening world in conditioned mind and participating in real life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
all right.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Catherine. Sherry, we have time for one more caller, so here we go.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Christian in L.A.
Hello, hey. Christian.
Hi. So,
hi there. What are you seeing?
A little bit of content. One of my coworkers is moving away. We had a little going away shindig for her yesterday. And everyone was standing in a circle, and she was sharing her emotions about, you know, how great it's been, and she shed some tears. And when she was done with the little toast, we all were just standing in the circle, and I just really wanted to run. I wanted to leave and go back into my office, which I could have done. But yesterday morning, I said, just let's watch today how we relate to people. Let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't leave the circle. And I've known these people for years, and I've known, you know, there's a time and a place to dodge people. this was not one of them. So I just thought, wow, it was an intimate, loving moment, and ego didn't want me there.
Yeah. Oh, and isn't that good to see?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's not saving you from the dangerous, awful, horrible people. It's it's protecting you from love and intimacy.
That's right. 100%. And it surprised me. You know, I love these people. I don't have any problem with them. I thought, wow, this is so interesting. It's just it if I weren't watching, it would have been unconscious completely, and I would have pulled myself away from that moment, and I would have missed it.
Yes. Well, and to be just to break the language down, if ego could have distracted you, if you didn't do awareness practice, there would have been the impulse, okay, this is great, you know, I did my part, back to the office. And that would not have registered anywhere except, yeah, that's me, that's what I do, that's how I am, yeah. If that even registered, right? Or, I mean, you could have just found yourself back in your office without any awareness at all that anything had happened. But because you practice, what dropped in for you was, well, let's just stay here. This month is on relationships, so here are people. Let's see about relating, right? And you did it.
Yes.
You said yes. you didn't follow the next impulse from ego, which is, no, you don't want to do that, get out of here. Right? And because of that, you were able to see that really startling, you received that startling piece of information.
Yes, Yeah, and it's so interesting how it feels like a victory, you know, this realization and staying there. I mean, it was a small thing, but it feels big.
No, it's not a small thing. It's an enormous thing. Don't let it tell you it's a small thing. You know, you've got to make recordings that immortalize what a huge thing this is. This is love and intimacy and how you are with it, how you are as a human being with love and intimacy.
Yeah.
That's really big.
Yes, thank you for that. And I did not make a recording, but I will do that when we hang up.
Very good. Yeah, because you really don't want to lose sight of it. That is an opening. You've created an opening with that yes that's going to bring you a lot more information and clarity because you're open to it.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
I see it.
And so
there's
going to be so much more to see about this and all of the messages you've received about yourself and how you are with intimacy and what love is for you and what kind of a person you are and how you are with other people. And everything under the sun is going to be up for another look based on this awareness, this clarity.
Yes. I'm excited about it.
Ooh, me too. I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay, good.
Well, thank you.
Stay
Thanks
in touch,
both
huh?
of you. Yeah, I will. And everyone in the Sangha, have a great day. Thank you.
Oh, you too. Thank you, Kristen.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks,
bye.
Kristen.
Go happy. Thank you.
Go happy.
Bye.
And, Sherry, that brings us to the end of another marvelous show. Here's our assignment for today, and we'll have assignments over the weekend. For the next 24 hours, get as comprehensive a picture as you can of what you hear in your head about this issue. Keep the issue in the front of your awareness as you go about your day. Each time you become aware that attention is on the issue, notice what the voices are saying and jot it down.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very exciting. Thank you, Ashwini. Right. Thank you, everybody.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah. All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.